Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for joining Veronda Bellamy Inspired.
So I want to thank you. Can I say Prophet Cora?
That's fine.
I want to thank you for your yes for today. And, you know, coming on and talking about something that's so important, mindset, mental health, specifically within Christianity, right? Within our faith, and how that kind of shows up or it doesn't, or, you know, things like that. So I thank you for your yes. As you know, I love mental health. I love mindset. That's kind of my jam. And it's always such a treat when I get to merge, you know, spirituality, Christianity, in with mindset and mental health, because they kind of go hand in hand, right? Yes. So I want to thank you for your yes. I do want to go ahead, if you're okay with it, and read your bio for everyone, so they kind of, you know, officially, you know who I'm talking to, because, you know, we haven't really made that announcement yet. So we have Dr. Cora Jakes with us today. She's a powerhouse. She's a powerhouse preacher, associate pastor, and overseer of many ministries at the Potter's House Church of Dallas. Of her many accomplishments, her most recent is receiving a doctorate. Congratulations.
Thank you.
In Christian counseling from the One Flesh Ministries Bible Institute. Dr. Cora is proudly following in the footsteps of her well-known and influential parents, New York Times best-selling authors, movie producers, and megachurch pastors, Bishop T.D. Jakes, and First Lady Sarita Jakes. Known around the world as a powerful prayer warrior, Dr. Cora Jakes is an accomplished speaker and best-selling author of Faithing It, quote-unquote, and, quote, Ferocious Warrior, Dismantle Your Enemy and Rise. In Ferocious Warrior, Dr. Cora shares her powerful testimony of how she battled difficult obstacles, including infertility, loss, depression, and insecurity, and she won. Can we add that? And she won. Dubbed the Ferocious Warrior by many who follow her teachings, one of the key principles that Dr. Cora Jakes adheres to is praying by faith. And if you've not heard her pray, she will pray you out of anything that you're going through. Dr. Cora has made it her mission to teach people how to fight for the life they deserve. Armed with the weapons of faith, hope, and prayer, she also uses her platform to teach people how to pray and ask God for exactly what they want through what she calls her principles of prayer. In the words of her father, Cora has redefined what it means to fight like a girl. She shows up. Dr. Cora is passionate about teaching people how to live a life of purpose and power. She proudly walks in all that God has given her. And Dr. Cora is the proudest of her role as mother to Omari and Jason. You can visit her at callmecora.com and follow her on all social at official Call Me Cora. Thank you for joining. Thank you for joining. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
So this is amazing. You know, I really kind of just want to go ahead and kind of jump into this. For those of you that's not listened before, seen me before, heard my name before, I'm Veronda Bellamy. Let me just say that. And I'm a therapist. I'm licensed in North Carolina, a coach to people all over the globe. And I'm all about mindset, mental health as well, and also talking about Christianity and kind of merging things together. The creator of Happyology, which is my newest program, and it's all things happiness and mindset. So I say it's the portal to happiness. So, Prophet, Dr. Prophet, Cora Jakes.
Call me Cora. See, this is why my whole brand, just call me Cora. There's so many, I have so many hats. It's just easier. When the Lord called me, he called me Cora.
He called you Cora. I love it. You know, and jumping into this whole, you know, mindset thing, I guess I'll start with the first question of, you know, what are some of those things that you've seen, you know, in as Cora in everything that you do, and how, you know, Christianity kind of going to say it, rejects mindset and mental health.
Well, I think for me, my perspective of faith and mental health and Christianity and mental health is very different because I was introduced to God differently. Mm-hmm. And so the very first book of the Bible that I ever read was Job. Mm-hmm. And for me, Job reads very therapeutically in nature, as his friends and the council around him is giving him advice and encouragement, and he is suffering and he's going through depression and he's going through suicide, but he is not isolating himself so much so that he's unable to hear the people that are around him, and gain understanding from them. And so I always saw God as a tester of our ability to trust him in the different seasons and natures of life that are presented to us. And those come in many different ways and many different directions. And I think that it just would behoove us to lean on the counsel that is around us, because it keeps us safe. There is safety in a multitude of counsel. We know this, that Jesus is our counselor, yes, but I also believe that he places his spirit of counseling in those people around us that are willing to really pour into themselves in that way. So I think that my understanding and bridge for mental health is very different as Cora. And I handle the rejection differently, for sure, as Cora, because I believe that there has to be a fight for something, and I don't mind fighting for the counsel. And I believe that that's probably why God even honored me with being a doctor of Christian counseling, because in its truest form, it is about being able to bridge this relationship of leaning on people who have the wisdom and tools and resources to help you versus isolating yourself in a position that leaves you stagnant and discouraged.
That's so good, so deep.
Yeah.
You said so much just then. So as a counselor, walking as a Christian, what does Christianity mean to you?
Christianity for me is about my relationship with Christ from an emotional level. What I mean by this is I don't read the Word of God as a story. I read it as a strategy by which God left to teach us the attributes of who he is. Mm-hmm. And so as a Christian, I buy in to the belief that there is a God that has so many different attributes in nature that everything that means me evil turns out for the good just because I buy in to the belief of God's ability. As a Christian, I am not exempt from suffering. I'm not exempt from pain. As a Christian, I have the ability to overpower the pain that tries to overpower me. And so I believe that as a Christian, we become warriors, we become powerful, we become strategic in nature and our relationship with how we view Christ and his walk becomes very emotional and charged from a relationship standpoint, that I believe really taps us into like a David nature, if you will. It's like, I can think of it like when David saw Goliath and he was like, who are you? Like, that was relationship that he had with God, that relationship as a Christian to believe God's ability will outweigh anything that you face is absolutely the power of the Christian. I believe that it's attractive being a warrior for Christ. Anybody can fight for anything and for anyone, but to be able to say that I know I will survive, not because I am skilled, but because it is in my inherited will as a believer in Christ to overcome anything that the enemy throws at me. That's what it means for me. But again, my perspective is very different.
No, I love it, because what you're saying is like it's absolute, like,
yeah,
you know, like this is it.
I just don't subscribe to the idea that the Bible is not enough for us to survive.
I agree.
And as a Christian, I cannot walk in a space of weakness, knowing what I know. It would be different walking the confidence that I carry, the confidence that I believe in, the faith that I have is different without the word of God.
Yes.
But because I believe the word, like I challenge the word, I have seen the word show up for me, like I cannot subscribe to anything other than this is the strategy out of this world that God has left us to survive suffering times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So with that being said, you know, whenever you're dealing with challenges, how do you address them?
My first
What's your strategy?
Yeah, my first responder is always going to be faith.
Mm-hmm.
After the acknowledgement of whatever I'm feeling, okay? Mm-hmm. Because it's like I tell people, like when you get hit by a bus, your first thing is not likely Jesus. When you wake up after having been hit by the bus, then you probably calling on Jesus. But as upon getting hit by a bus, your first response is a feeling. So address whatever that feeling is. So am I angry about this? Am I hurt about this? Am I feeling insecure about this? What are the feelings that I have about this? And once I can identify the feeling, then my response to that feeling is faith.
Mm-hmm.
How does the word of God apply to what I'm going through and feeling right now? Mm-hmm. So I feel angry. Mm-hmm. I need to believe and trust that the word of God has something that's going to combat this anger.
Mm-hmm. And it does.
And it does. And so once I get to the word and I realize the scriptures that combat this anger, I settle my spirit down because I'm not worried about my flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That's just Like, that's a distraction. My flesh is a distraction. And it will never not be a distraction.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So I have to always consider, okay, how is my spirit going to take this on? How does my spirit feel? My spirit feels angry. The word of God has something that's going to feed that anger that's in my spirit. Once I settle my spirit down, then I can call Dr. T.
Yes.
Because I need to not be acting a fool in my flesh because I don't know and understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. So let me identify and settle my spirit down so that when I do walk into Dr. T, my therapist's office, I have something of substance to give her instead of, I don't know how I feel. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. That's counterproductive.
Yes. But she, I'm sure if you did, she would be able to guide you through, like,
Let's
process this. I don't know. Like, what's really on the backside of that?
That is the challenge of life, B. For me, I feel like if I go into the therapist's office, I want to go in because you get 45 minutes to an hour tops.
Right.
And you could spend that with the I don't know, or you could really figure that portion, that small piece out, whatever that is, feelings will that thing, and then go into the doctor's office so that you can spend that hour working on what you feel versus trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I use my therapy hour.
Listen, I know
some people go into their therapy hour with the I don't know, but I be like really trying hard not to do that. Like, there are times where I go in and just be like, Dr. T, like, I have no idea. Like, you gonna have to help me with this one. But most times I can kind of let you know, like, okay, this is how I'm feeling, this is what's going on, and I need a strategy to help navigate how I present myself in the world, flesh, while I'm going through this.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. So with that being said, what does mental health really mean to you?
Mental health for me is about getting the map that you need from the person that God has sent in your life to help you navigate emotionally everything that you go through. I tell my therapist, like, you're not getting rid of me. Like, she says, you know, you reach a point and, you know, you're going to grow, you're going to develop. And I'm like, no, homie, I'm going to be here. Like I'm going to be here forever because I feel like just like you have to see your doctor like every year for a physical and you have to check in and make sure that your organs and your liver and your blood type and your blood cells and everything are good. Like, there is so much trauma in our DNA. Like, I'm just learning this stuff. Like, in our DNA, there is so much trauma that it is really ridiculous of us as a people. Forget color, forget race. It is ridiculous of us as a people to think that we could carry this much trauma in our DNA and not talk to anybody who is skilled in helping us teaching us how to navigate through that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you're not crazy. Well, no, you're not crazy, but you are traumatized.
Yep.
And if you don't get any help, it's gonna look a little crazy.
This is why I love you. You crack me up.
Like, you know, like, I hate that, but that's what, like, it's kind of crazy.
Call it for what it is.
Life is hard. Life is tough. And I didn't even realize, like, you could be holding your great-great-granny's pain of being whipped from a tree great granny is gone. Great, 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 great granny is gone. But her trauma lives in your bloodline.
Mm-hmm. Mm. As you're saying that, I'm thinking about, so this is where we get to kind of dance with things. I'm thinking about generational curses and like things that repeat themselves. And you're like, this is the same story for 20 years. Why am I in this same story for 20 years? Why?
It's the trauma in the bloodline. My mama was beat. My mama's mama was beat. My mama's mama was beat. My daddy was abusive. My daddy was abusive. My daddy was abusive. My dad was an alcoholic. My other daddy was an alcoholic. It's in the bloodline. It follows down. And until we say help is okay, mm-hmm. it's going to continue to hurt our bloodline. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see it continue in our children because it doesn't have anything to do with individual issues. It's a DNA bloodline issue that we're going through, and mental health is the answer to these issues. But we as a community are so oppressed that we do not open up our hearts and our minds to the idea that we are worthy and valuable enough to not be oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we continue with the cultural DNA. It's crazy if you go to a therapist. Ain't nothing wrong with you. That's in our DNA. You ain't never talked to a therapist. A therapist ain't never hurt you. A therapist ain't never lied on you. A therapist ain't never cursed you. But every time somebody brings up, hey, maybe it'd be okay for you to talk to somebody, you know, that's got a PhD, a few letters behind their name, they could help you. It's, no, I'm not crazy. But that response is not you. That response is great, 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 great granny.
I love that. That's a beautiful analogy.
Yeah. So mental health gives us that. It gives us that answer, but we're so afraid because it's in our DNA to not trust
mm-hmm.
mm. someone is not out to get you. To not trust that there's an ulterior motive. Like, what are you doing this for? Well, just because I like to see people healed. I like to see people happy. I think that that's cool that God has given me the ability to help people not hurt anymore. Like, that's, I like to do that. No way! Absolutely! Yeah way! Who doesn't want to sit with that? You know, like, sit down, talk with someone. Mental health is the answer to our trauma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And prayer has helped us to survive, but mental health will help us to succeed.
Mm-hmm. And sustain, yeah.
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 It's easy to stay locked in survival mode. Like, we can all stay there. We can stay in survivor mode and just live in survivor mode, keeping our head on a swivel. But if you sit down and talk to someone, they teach you how to take deep breaths and go to sleep.
I've never heard that. What do you mean?
Wow. Go to sleep.
Why would I want to go to sleep? Like, why?
Deep breath and rest. Take a nap.
Drink some water.
Yes. It's simple, but it's so simple that we take advantage of the access that we have to it.
Yeah.
And instead of reaching, we make excuses that keep us from being able to really develop to a better self.
Yeah.
It's too expensive. It's not my insurance. I can't find one. Oh, it didn't work. I tried for a couple of weeks and then I stopped. Yeah.
All the things.
All the things.
And then 5 years from now, it's the same cycle. Right? Yeah. I'm curious to know, from your point of view, having a therapist, you doing counseling, you being a prophet, how often do you see the two merge, like the counselor and the prophetic?
All the time. All the time. And I have to have that freedom because I feel like the accountability that I have as a counselor comes from Christ. So like, I'm not on like a board. I don't have like a board I have to report to. I report to Christ. And so if I'm going to report to him, why not bring him into my sessions? If I have a prophetic gift that can help someone navigate through their hurt and their pain, or rather narrate their hurt and pain better, why not do that? And so I merge again, because it's all works together.
It does.
For me, I can't bring Cora without my middle name is Breon. So all of them have different. There is a whole bunch of different characters in me. I'm not schizophrenic, but there are a whole bunch of different characters in me. But I cannot bring Cora without Breon. I cannot bring the pastor without the prophet. I cannot bring the counselor without the doctor. I can't bring them. That I bring all my whole self, especially when I'm going to help someone. I bring my whole self. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes my best friend has to be like, I don't want to be mentored today. I don't want to be therapized today. Like, just chill. Watch the show. Like, what? Stop. But it does. If you ask me for help or you bring up a topic and the lawyer, like, all of it comes up. All of it comes up.
I love it. But it makes you who you are. Just call me Cora.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
There's a lot that comes with Cora, and mm-hmm. I'm not oblivious to that. My father was very, very nervous when he actually first put me out there, because for a long while everybody just thought he had one daughter, like, oh, it's just Sarah. They were seeing Sarah all the time. And then he had me to pray at the Woman Thou Art Loose conference. He introduced me and he was like, this is my secret weapon. And so I prayed, and then everybody was like, what? Who is this daughter?
I mean, I'm getting a daughter.
Oh my gosh, we didn't know. There's two of them? Oh my gosh. And so I put myself in a position to always feel like a secret weapon. For people that I love the most. Mm-hmm. And so if you ask me to show up, I show up as my full self with all of myself, and I can be a sharpshooter. And so I have to do that, because if I don't show you all of me, then you'll take too long to decide whether you like me or not. And so I'd rather you just decide that right off and choose to either follow me or unfollow me. And so I came out, and that's how I was. It's like, okay, you could like me, you may not like me. Like, either way, find out quick, honey. Leave quickly or stay. Either way. And everybody loved me. They were like, oh, she should have been a comedian. Oh my gosh, she makes us laugh. She's so happy. Oh my gosh, she's so funny. And people love my personality. And my dad took like a huge sigh of relief because he was like, I was so nervous because you are so animated. Mm-hmm. And you're such a big personality that sometimes people will be turned off by it. And I didn't know how you were going to handle people being turned off by your bigness, because I show up big. I don't know how to show up small in a room. I show up big.
I love it. I just love you. You know that,
though. I love you back.
Another, you mentioned happiness. What does happiness mean to you?
It's a slippery thing. I think happiness is something that we are always able to see, but not always able to catch. And when we do catch it, because we do not get to keep it for long, we take advantage of happiness instead of taking it in. We prepare to push it away. I believe that happiness is seasonal, and peace is seasonal, and war is seasonal. When happiness comes around, instead of pushing it away because you know it won't stay long, embrace it in that moment and hold it for as long as you have it. Sometimes you just have to hold something while you have it. Happiness is, for me, it's something that is slippery. When you have it, you hold on to it for as long as you have it.
I was going to ask you, thank you for saying that. Yes. Let me say this, I'm being flooded right now. So I was, you know, I have Happyology. And I felt like people were like thinking happiness is like this little trivial little thing. It's nothing, you know, whatever. Happiness is so overrated, you know, whatever. And like you said, it's taken for granted. And God spoke one day and said, look up the definition, the Hebrew meaning of happiness. So I was like, okay, Lord, here we go. And what I found was that it was, in Hebrew, it means joy. That settled me. I was so happy with that. I was like, yes, because God, you said in your word that joy is always available.
Yeah, it's always, you can see it always. It's like my old spiritual father used to say that wherever two or three are gathered, God is there in the midst, but it doesn't mean he's moving.
Yeah.
And so you have to ask God to move, even though he's in the midst of you. You have to ask him to move. And so that's how I feel about joy. I feel about happiness, that it's seeable, it's tangible, it's there, but you have to reach for it and you have to hold on to it and you have to figure out what it is that brought it to your hands, so that whenever you are sad, whenever you are hurting, whenever you are down, you know how to grab a hold to joy. Whatever it is, it may be a playlist, it may be getting on a swing, it may be taking a walk, it may be coloring, it may be painting, it may be throwing water balloons at your fence, whatever it is, joy can be found. It just has to be found.
Yeah, I love that. Yes, girl. Because even no matter what the trauma is, we can still choose that. We could still go and, like, I just feel like grabbing it. Like, we could still go grab it. We can, you know what I mean? No matter what's going on around us. So, we could be going through hell right now.
Grab joy. My goddaughter is 3. She'll be 4 in a couple of weeks. Oh, my gosh, that hurts. Oh. But sometimes when she doesn't get her way, she will pout and she cries and, like, it's a whole thing. Like, she will put on a show for a long while. And I am of the, you don't gotta cry about it, my homie. Like, it's cool, it's over, like, just move on.
Right.
And so I was telling my best friend, her mom, she was like, she's 3. She can cry about it. She can be sad. You don't tell her how to feel. And I was like, absolutely. She can choose to be sad and cry for the next 5 minutes and be upset about it. Or she could choose to take a deep breath, receive it, move on, and keep on pushing. There are two options here. I just want her to know she has two options. I'm not telling her how to feel or what option to choose, but you got to.
I love it.
You can choose joy, or you can choose depression and anger. You can choose sadness and suicide, or you could choose to think something different. Challenge yourself to make the choice that produces the best fruit for where you want to go, not where you are.
Not where you are. Yes. That's the key.
Yeah.
Where you want to go? Where do you want to go with your emotions, right? Because emotions change all the time, right? All the time. We have experiences all the time.
It's a moving wheel. It's a feelings wheel. It's always moving. It's always moving. And we control that. You can control the wheel. Stop it. Stop it at content and say, oh, what's happening here? When I feel content, is it the warmth of the tea? Is it the blanket? Is it the socks? Is it what I'm watching? What's here in content land that I'm gonna hold on to? We make those choices. And I am learning more through therapy that it is my choice.
So simple, but so powerful.
Right? You hate it to be that simple, but it's so powerful and it's that simple. But when you think of, like, let's think injections. They're small. It's simple injection, but powerful enough to cure cancer, powerful enough to cure a virus, powerful, a small little pill could knock a whole thing out.
The whole thing.
The whole thing. And so you just consider, like, how life is the smallest thing could be the biggest answer.
I love it. I feel like I want to round this out with one question. I feel like you've already kind of answered this, though, about Christians and the Christian community, about mindset, mental health. If you could say anything to them that you have not said already, for every Christian, even non-believers, what would you say?
For Christians, I would say that God was Jesus's therapist. For non-believers, I would say, sorry. We're not making the church the therapist.
Wow. I want to thank you for your time, your wisdom, the Holy Spirit using you right now, today, your comedy. Yes. And, you know, this is such a real topic. I'm going to keep interviewing people. You're one of the first people I'm interviewing for this segment. I think I'm going to start traveling and interviewing people because it's real. It's real. And I see it, like, I do some work in a hospital setting as well. I see it in a hospital. And it's always such a treat when I'm able to be Veranda in all my essence, and Veranda is called by God. So being able to let the Spirit speak through me and see people's healing, but it took them saying, yes, I need help.
Yeah.
It took them saying yes. And so having this conversation and being all that you are, and candid and honest and real and funny, I think this is going to shed more light on it and free people and give them permission to say yes. Let me go find my therapist, because the therapist is there. We hold a key to your healing, not because of who we are, but because of who we serve. Exactly. We're just a vessel.
Yeah.
Right? So thank you for your yes. If anyone wants to reach you, if you want to just give your sites, I already shared it. You can do that right now.
And it's official. Call me Cora everywhere. Call me Cora everywhere. So you can catch me there. I am going to revamp my website and everything at the start of the new year. So.
Hello. Thank you for joining Veronda Bellamy Inspired.